Tuesday, October 25th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, Paul Waldman had an op-ed in the Washington Post just last week entitled "Judicial Elections Are a Time Bomb That Could Blow Up Our Democracy." In this op-ed, he quotes Clarence Thomas saying, "I wonder how long we're going to have these institutions at the rate we're undermining them. And then I wonder, when they're gone or destabilized, what will we have as a country?" This comment by Clarence Thomas was prompted after the leak of the draft opinion overturning Roe v. Wade.
Right now, what seems to be a bulwark to maintain us as a constitutional republic is simply our judicial system at the moment. And we continue to elect people that treat the Constitution as a quote-unquote living document, meaning I can make it say what I want to say in this contemporary moment. And we put those people in our executive branches, and we put those people in our legislatures of House and Senate at the state level as well as the federal level. And therefore, all of these laws and rulings and executive orders keep coming out. And the only hope for sanity has been what is becoming an overworked court system, having to rule on all these things as they attempt to turn the constitutions upside down to make them say something that they don't say. For instance, this particular writer is obviously very concerned about the Dobbs decision because of a conviction that the Supreme Court justices voted politically and not constitutionally. Well, the fact of the matter, he's not taking on their argument. Their argument was that Roe v. Wade was political and cultural in that it manufactured a right to abortion out of a whole bolt of cloth that cannot be found in the Constitution itself. And that was their point. So take them on. Show them in the Constitution where the right to abortion is. So what this particular writer is trying to say is we've got politically motivated judges, and the only ones are acceptable are those who are motivated according to my politics. And now he's also trying to answer a question that comes all the way from the Bible. Who appointed you as judge over us? You remember that Moses and others have received such challenges before in the scriptures. Who has appointed you as judge over us? Well, in that case, the patriarch of the scripture can say, the Lord did, because the Lord did in that theocracy. But we're not in a theocracy. We are in a constitutional republic that uses a democratic process. Therefore, I would say to the writer of this op-ed, as much as I decry the unnecessary politicizing the judicial process, as much as I decry that, the fact is I cannot think of a better way to elect those who are judges over us than to elect them of the people, by the people, and from the people. I would say to our electorate, you have the constitutional right to elect your judges. Now, be constitutionally responsible to find out, is there allegiance simply to a political party? And if it is, I would say, don't elect them. In other words, elect judges who see themselves not as legislators, but as arbiters. Another word for arbiter is an umpire. An umpire is supposed to call balls and strikes off of a 17.5-inch plate. So is a judge. They are to make calls based upon the law that is before them that has been approved of the people, by the people, and for the people, and make the call based upon that law. Not make new law when a case comes before you. But underneath this is something else in this writer. This writer is basically saying what many are saying in this cultural revolution. We know what's best for the people, because the people are not trustworthy. They cannot elect their own judges. We need the cultural elite to appoint the judges. That's what we need to do. Here is someone who is obviously adept at writing and presently is saying to the American people, their appointment of the present judges is idiotic and perverse. That's what he called it. Those are his two words. It's idiotic and perverse. In other words, the electorate are idiots, and the electorates want something that's perverse. Why? Because right now we have a majority of judges who are working as constitutionalists or as textualists or as originalists. In other words, they believe that the judge is to rule on the law that he has, not on a law that he would fabricate. That's why the reversal of Roe v. Wade, and that's why this particular individual is fearful. Really, what he wants is the cultural elite to establish the judiciary, that the unwashed, that is the Neanderthals, that is the voting public, they don't have enough sense to elect the judges that can rule on the law. I think that what his real concern is that actually they have come to their senses, and the judicial activism movement from the 1940s to the 1990s has been reversed over the elections that have taken place in the late 20th century and in the first of the 21st century. In fact, I would go so far to say, Tom, that one of the key reasons, maybe even the premier reasons, that Donald Trump got elected, why evangelicals tended to vote for him in majoritarian fashion, was because of his stated commitment to put textualists on the federal benches, that is, judges who would rule according to the Constitution. That's what probably gave him the nod in that election. And that's what this individual cannot abide by, that the people actually want to be ruled by law. We do not want the supremacy of rule to be in a president, to be in a Congress, or even to be among judges. We believe lex rex, the law is king. Therefore, we want an executive branch who doesn't make law but executes the law, a judicial branch that determines are the laws made consistent with the Constitution, and if people violate the Constitution, what is their guilt and what is their sentence? That's what we actually want, and that is a bottom line necessity for a constitutional republic to continue. What must not happen is what the writer of this piece desires, and that is the approved cultural elite control the judiciary. No, we need the people to answer the question, who appointed you as judge over us? Well, our Constitution demands the answer. It is of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Harry, it was approximately a month ago we began a new feature on Today in Perspective entitled Ask the Pastor. Every Friday, we are taking questions from our listeners concerning what do the Scriptures mean, or an issue of life, and how do the Scriptures address those issues of life. I'm happy to say, Harry, we have been overwhelmed by a number of great questions coming in from our listeners, to the point that we need to take an extra day other than Friday, and we're going to do that tomorrow to answer more questions from our listeners.
We won't do this every week, but the questions are very good, and I think our listeners would desire to hear them. Tom, as we leave the program today, may I make one final statement, and that's this. The Bible is clear. It's appointed unto men once to die, and what? Then the judgment. And that judge is appointed. That is Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus has made it abundantly clear on that day, he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. But he, 2,000 years ago, went to a cross and bore our judgment so that you can be delivered from sin's guilt, shame, and power, and on the day of judgment be welcomed into a new heavens and a new earth.
Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we will again have an extra Ask the Pastor feature on tomorrow's podcast. By the way, if you have a question for Harry, send it to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Well, do join us again tomorrow as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.